We turn in Holy Scripture tonight to 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 5. First John, chapter 5. We'll read the whole of the chapter. This is the holy and inspired word of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life, for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Thus far we read the Word of God. May God work that Word into our hearts and use it to direct our lives. We consider verses 3 and 4 tonight as the text on this occasion of public confession of faith. For this is the love of God, that we keep four and five. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the text implies that there is a war going on. A war in which Evan is committed to fight. And all who have made confession of faith in Jesus Christ are committed to fight in this war. This is very sobering, because if we think of a fight in which the enemy is someone that we believe is weak, at least weaker than we are, so that we are stronger than the enemy, then maybe we wouldn't be so concerned about being involved in the war. But God does not call you to fight someone like a little brother. Maybe you wouldn't be intimidated by Troy or Jordan. But this is a world war in which God says that the enemy that you are committed, that you are called to fight against, is the whole world. And imagine that. If Mexico or Canada or even the United States of America said, we're going to go to battle and we are going to choose as our enemy the entire world. Germany sometimes is thought of as having done that in World War I and II. That's not true. The Germans did not fight against the entire world and did not fight alone. They had their allies. And then when you realize that by world here, we're going to come to that in the sermon, really the opponent is much mightier and much greater than all the nations, all the earthly nations of this world. What a bold confession. I believe in Jesus, and I stand with Him against this entire evil world. How can you make that confession? By faith, of course, that first of all is humble and is sober and says, I understand the reality that before this world I am weak, and before this world I cannot stand a moment. And as John Calvin says, I am defeated even before any battle starts, and would be defeated over and over and over again if I stood in this battle in my own strength. By faith, we confess our weakness, but then we are bold to look to the promises of God, to the Word of God here in this text, where God not only implies that you are involved in the battle, not only gives really a calling to you and me to fight on behalf of the kingdom of Jesus Christ against the world, but what we have here really is a declaration of victory. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Not only then by confession of faith tonight has Evan said, I am committed to fighting against the world, but I already at this point in my faith journey confess I have the victory in Jesus Christ. And there's encouragement for continuing on in the battle of faith against the world. So let's consider this text tonight under the theme, overcoming the world by faith, noticing two things. First, the intense struggle, and then secondly, the promised victory. The world here refers to the world from a spiritual point of view, not from an earthly point of view, not from a geographical point of view. Of course, kings and kingdoms of this world are involved in this. But the world here is the spiritual enemy of God and of His people. This is the world that you and I must contend with. This is the world that you and I overcome. We have the victory over our spiritual enemy. So when you think of the world, you must think of all evil here that is opposed to God. The chief characteristic of this world is not anything to do with physical might or physical wealth, although this world has physical might and physical wealth. But the chief characteristic of this world is hatred, opposition for God. There is your enemy that you must overcome. The world that hates God, that hates the Lord Jesus Christ. John is writing in this context about this is the evidence of faith. This is the evidence that you belong to God. What? That you believe in God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. And that means this is the world's opposition to God. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in this Jesus Christ, that He's the Son of God come in human flesh, that He's the one who made a payment for sin, that He's the Savior. Don't believe in the Word of God. Hate the Word of God. And hate God's people. This is the world that is not only God's, but our spiritual enemy. Evan, when you say you believe in Jesus Christ and that you do believe that you're born of God, you are marked by the world as an enemy. Young people and all of us here in the congregation need to make sure that we are aware of the battle lines that John is drawing here from the Word of God. You see, the world likes to say to all of us, but to young men and young women, we care for you. We just want you to be happy. We just want you to have a good life from an earthly point of view. We're friends. It wants you to be deceived into thinking that you can make friendship compromise with the world. No. Confessing your faith in Jesus Christ marks you as an enemy of the world. The world hates the God that you confess, the Jesus you confess. And if you say, as you said in your confession of faith tonight, and now this is how I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to live according to the ways of the world, but I'm going to live according to the ways of the Word of God. The world hates that. You shine as a light, and the darkness, John says, hates the light. The world hates Jesus Christ, and He said, as it has hated Me, it will hate you. Now this world is not all hatred. There is a love, we can say, of the world. Now, as soon as we say that, we recognize that this is not the love of God. Love for God or love that comes from God. This is not the true love that characterizes the love of a Christian then. This is a perverted love, a twisted love. Hatred for God is the source of this love, and then love for all that is evil. And John speaks of that in chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is against the Father. The world is against God. The world in the pride of life says, I will not love and honor God as God, but I will exalt myself as God. This is what all of those who belong to this evil world say. In pride, in the pride of life, I won't seek to serve God. I will seek to serve me. So I have strong desires, lust. Those who were here this morning when we considered the 10th commandment heard about that already a little bit this morning, today. But this is the world. I have a love for me and not for God. I love to oppose God. I love to use my flesh not for obeying God and serving God. As John says here, I almost read that, verse 3. The commandments of God are not grievous. The world says those commandments are grievous. I'm not going to live in love for God. I'm going to live in love for me. I'm not going to live in love for my neighbor. I'm going to live in love for me. My flesh, my body is not pleasing for pleasing the Lord, but it's for fornication, partying, drunkenness. My eyes are not for God. But for me to entertain myself any way that brings me gratification. Now, when you paint the picture this way, it's rather black and white, isn't it? John says in verse 15, this is your calling of chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And you say, if the world is all that evil, hatred for God, love for sin and wickedness, and this is what it means to be a child of God. I love the Father and I hate the world. And you say, it's easy. I love God and I hate the world. But it's not so easy. And John takes that perspective in the text. He talks about having to overcome the world. Not at some future moment, going to look at this a little later on, but he uses present tense verbs indicating that you need to be encouraged that right now in the middle of the battle of faith, in your struggle against the world, you have the victory. Because sometimes it doesn't appear that way. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way in what we are experiencing. There is the reality that this world is a spiritual enemy, so that we do not face only carnal powers, earthly powers, but as Paul says, principalities and powers, the prince of the power of the air. It'd be one thing if we were called as Christians to face the earthly tyrants of this world. But when John says, no, this is your enemy, the evil world opposed to God, he's saying, you oppose the evil one, Satan himself, who is much more powerful than you, who is much more experienced than you, who is much craftier than you. And though you may say, I do believe what the Bible says about Satan, that he is the enemy of God. And from the point of view of my new man, I hate him. But the reality is that when I face the temptations of Satan, and when I face all of the fiery darts that he shoots my way in this battle against the evil one, it's a struggle. Not easy to resist all the different ways that he tries to destroy my faith and lead me into sin. And then there's the reality, too, that we are part of a church that is called a remnant, a little flock. And the hosts of the people in the world who serve Satan and are opposed to God are many, many more in number than us. So that means that the reality of the influence of the world, the temptations of the world, the sins of the world, well, they're never ending. The attempts of the world to get into our hearts, to get into our homes, to get into our churches, to get into our schools. Talking with a group of men this morning in the fellowship hall about the evidence of great evil in the church. Some who have been drawn away by Satan into a sinful lifestyle. And some of the men, fathers in the church who are concerned about the young people made the comment, every time the television is turned on, or every time a computer screen is clicked on, every time these children go anywhere in the world, the store, the shopping mall, there are these messages of the world that these sinful lifestyles, these sinful behaviors, they're normal. And that makes the struggle intense, doesn't it? You know what I mean? There's a temptation that I battle today and I overcome it. But it comes again tomorrow and again and again. And if the world and Satan thinks, well, that's the temptation that this person is apparently given to overcome, here comes a new one, new angle, new sin, new hook, new lure. Maybe at one time it's going to be persecution. Are you really ready to go back to work again? Are you really ready to face that neighbor again who's going to mock you for your faith? Maybe even have that boss not only put pressure on you to compromise your faith in the workplace, but maybe even threaten to take your job away. Are you really going to stand for Christ and not deny Christ in that situation? Maybe somehow it's the offer of earthly riches. Look at, Satan loves to say this, the world loves to say this, especially to young people. You really want to follow Christ? Look what we have to offer. And that's a powerful temptation in the world today. And maybe it will be in some kind of trial, loss of health for you or a loved one. So we're surrounded by the constant temptations, attempt of Satan to influence us, to get a hold of us. And then there's the world of evil that we face in ourselves, our flesh. It's perhaps the most discouraging thing for someone who says, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that God is my Father. I love Him. I don't love the world. And yet so often I see the evidence of my sinful flesh that there is in me a love for Satan, a love for the evil world. It's bad enough that every time I open my eyes in the morning and look around in the world, I see all kinds of sin and different ways that the world is trying to influence me to think sinful thoughts, to reject Jesus and to live in evil. But it's worse that I see in me that there is an ally of the devil and of the world. And who, whenever temptation comes, says, give in. I want to do this. Sometimes the struggle is so intense with what's going around us, and our weaknesses are so great, and we're aware of them, that we're tempted to say, no. This battle is pointless. It's useless. It's hopeless. You ever think that for yourself? You ever think that as an older member of the church for your children, maybe your grandchildren? You see what's going on in the world. You see what's going on in the church. You see what's going on in their lives. And you might think, they're not going to overcome the world. The world is going to swallow them up. You ever think that about yourself? I don't have the victory. The world does. It's an intense struggle, and so we need the promised victory, the declaration of victory here in the text. Three statements now that we're going to go through, each one of them in order. Briefly, first of all, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's in the present tense. That's not in the future tense. The Word of God does not say to you, you will overcome. Now that's a great hope. The day of the coming again of Jesus Christ, the day of the burning up of the wicked world, And the establishment of the new heavens and the new earth, the day of you being made perfect body and soul, so that you may live forever in the victory of heaven. But here it's now, constantly. You have victory. Being born of God. Now what John is speaking of is regeneration. The reality of God by the power of Jesus Christ reaching down to us fallen sinners here in this life, raising us from the dead spiritually, and giving to us personal salvation. If you are born of God, then, as John says later on in the chapter, you are connected to Jesus Christ and you have life. Life with Jesus Christ, life with God. I'm pleased to say that when Evan was asked what the Bible teaches about regeneration, he not only could tell us what regeneration is, but he could also tell us he believes he is regenerated. Now that's personal salvation. That's also corporate salvation. Regeneration is the moment when God says, corporately you belong to what? The wicked world fallen in Adam. You're dead in that world. I'm going to take you out of the world. And where am I going to put you? I'm going to put you into Christ and His church. And so, you are born again in the church by the power of Jesus Christ, by the power of God. Now, John says here, and this is something we have to take note of, whatsoever is born of God. And then when you turn to verse 18, you notice he talks about whosoever is born of God. But here, he does not speak of whosoever is born of God, but whatsoever is born of God, in order to say, now I know the reality here, and this is part of the struggle that you're dealing with. That when you are regenerated, you're not altogether delivered from sin. You still have your sinful flesh that is not born of God. That is not going to ever overcome the world. You still have your sinful flesh that is going to continue to be dead in sin, to continue to want to hate God and to live in the service of sin. That part of you is not born again. But when Jesus Christ has planted in you the seed of life, there is that part of you whatsoever that is born of God. And whatsoever that is in you, that is the life of Jesus Christ in you, the faith that God gives you, the love that God gives you for God, for His Word, for Jesus Christ, that trust that you have in God, that is where you have the victory already now. And what John means by victory is this. You have eternal life and salvation in whatever is in you born of God that can never be defeated. Satan, the whole world, cannot take away your life or your faith. That's what John is saying when he says in verse 12, he that hath the Son of God, or hath the Son, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is life. To be born of God. To have the life of Jesus Christ. And John said in John 11 verse 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Our bodies are not yet born of God. They'll die and have to be raised again in the coming of Jesus Christ. But the new life and the faith that you have is born of God. And in that, you have overcome the world. And then John says, in the last part of verse 4, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." First, we have to note here that the King James translates this again in the present tense. But in the Greek, it's actually in the past tense, so that you can take it this way, "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." And what John is doing here is showing us that in this spiritual battle, here are the battle lines: faith versus unbelief. And what the devil wants is to destroy your faith. I mentioned all these different tools that the devil has, and you've already, those of you who have confessed faith in Jesus Christ even as little children, you've faced all these different weapons that he has, and the longer you live, the more you face them. He can tempt you, he can persecute you, he can come to you in very adverse trials, great painful and sorrowful times in your life, and try to make you give up on God, give up on Jesus Christ. And here's the thing for us as the people of God. When we go through those difficult times, that's when it feels like we are being overcome by the devil. He's persecuting me. He's squeezing me into this very small space. He's tempting me. And his temptations are so powerful, I seem to succumb to them so easily, and he seems to be overcoming me. But the fact is that when you, by the grace of God, say no to the great temptation the devil puts before you, deny your faith, deny Jesus Christ, and you say no, by faith, I am going to lay hold on God. I'm going to put my trust in Him. I'm going to believe in Jesus Christ. I'm going to find my hope in Him. God is saying, there's the victory. That's how you, by faith, overcome the devil and the whole world. That faith, remember, is not about us saving ourselves. It's God saving us. By faith, we don't trust in ourselves. We're going to come to this in a moment. We put our trust in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. And remember this too, that faith is a gift of God through regeneration. So that God doesn't wait for us to will to be born again. He causes us to be born again. God also doesn't wait for us to choose to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. God puts that faith in us to believe in Jesus Christ. And now here's the point. This is the victory of faith. Faith is one of those gifts that when God gives it, it's unlosable. Sometimes we are very weak in our faith. And then we need to be admonished to believe in Jesus Christ, to put away our unbelief, and to be called to believe in Jesus Christ. But we also need this encouragement from the Word of God. Sinful and weak as you and I are, and as powerful as the devil in the world may be in attacking our faith, God does guarantee, once you are born again and given faith by me, you will never lose that faith. Once you are a believer, or another word for that is saint, you will always be a saint. And you will always be a believer. And now here's the encouragement to continue to put your faith in God. As you, moment by moment in your life, by faith, say no to the world and sin, and say yes to God and the way of obedience, that's the way of spiritual victory for us as the people of God. And then we see that loving God and keeping His commandments, it's not hard. That's not grievous. It's a blessing. It's victory. The victory of a sanctified life for the child of God. And then finally, John says in verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And here, John is pointing us to the object of faith. The fact that you have faith and that the activity of your faith is that you put your trust in God, that's your way of overcoming the world. But now, as you stand in the midst of this world and you see all of the sin, you see all of the power of Satan in the world, you see the world within you, the world of sin in your own weakness, look to Jesus Christ and make Him the object of your faith. Believe in Him as what? The one who has come from God into human flesh. Believe in Him as the one, John says, when you sin and you know you are guilty, not only has made payment for your sins through His death on the cross, but He is now in heaven interceding as your advocate on your behalf. Believe in who He is. This is what you do if you're born of God and you've been given faith. You confess Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He's the fulfillment of all of the promises of God for salvation. Believe in what He has done. That He has overcome the world. He has defeated Satan. He has defeated all the powers of darkness. He has established the kingdom of God in this world, through the preaching of the gospel, in your heart, through regeneration and faith in the gospel. And so this is the question. And you've answered that question tonight, Evan. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Him as He was preached by the apostles, as He is revealed in the Word of God? Do you believe that you need Him because by nature you are part of the world? Do you confess your sin and your weakness, but your Savior is Jesus Christ? If you believe in Him, you have overcome the world. And the encouragement and the promise here is the rest of your life, through Jesus Christ, you will continue to overcome the world by faith. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word, for the calling that we need to be reminded of, not only to forsake the world, love not the world, and to believe in Jesus Christ, but the calling to trust in Thy promises and to be comforted and encouraged by the fact that we do look for the coming of Jesus Christ and the final perfection of the victory He has given. May we also believe, Father, that now, through the work of grace, that Thou hast performed in giving us new life and faith and the power to live by that faith in the world. That we have each day the power to overcome the opposition of the world without and within ourselves, and to live victoriously in the service of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Hear us, we pray, in His name. Amen.